Well, again, it's good to be here at Cornerstone today, guys. We've been in a series about money for a while now, for the last 2 weeks, and this is the third week where we get to talk a little bit about how we handle our finances, and are we doing that in a godly way. We've been trying to provide some biblical advice here on what the Bible really says about money, and the Bible has a whole lot to say about it, so first of all, though, the worship time is great. That's a lot of music for just three guys. That sounded good for just three guys up here. So appreciate them filling in. Chris, their little girl was sick, so he wasn't able to be here. And so hope Maggie feels better. And we've got a couple other praise team members singing over at Cliffview this morning. So we've spread out all over the place today. But this series, one of the things that we've been doing is just helping everybody come up with a plan. How do we really honor God with everything, including our finances? It's been great to hear some of the stories that have flowed out of this already. And it's funny, after the first week we did the message on getting out of debt, that next week on the Galax yard sale page, it was flooded with people from Cornerstone. I loved it. They're like, everybody, we're getting rid of stuff. And we're going to sell everything. We're going to get out of debt. So it was awesome. So first week we talked about getting out of debt, how that could help us really put God first and not be enslaved to the lender there. So we talked about that. Then last week we talked about how we need to spend less and save, just so that we can be prepared, so that when God says this is an opportunity I have for you, we can listen to it, we can follow after, and we can do it. And so this week we want to learn a little bit about the joy we can find in generosity. The phrase that I've shared each week of this series, I want to share it with you again. It's first line in your notes if you're following along. And it is so important. This is why we want to talk about it. Your life is too valuable. Your calling is too great. And your God is too good to waste your life on meaningless things. There's so much truth there. Your life is too valuable. Your calling is too great. Your God too good to waste your life on meaningless things. I've been sharing so many practical resources because I think that's one of Satan's traps for us, is he wants us to chase after things that don't really matter. And let me just ask you, at the end of your life, will you look back and will you say, man, I am so glad that I was able to get that new sports car. Or I'm so glad we got that extra bedroom on the house. We chase after things at the time. We think, man, this is so important. I'll sacrifice. I'll do whatever. I'm going to borrow money. You know, I'm going to do whatever it takes so I can have what I want. But just like King Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, it's all vanity. It's all chasing after the wind. It's all chasing after meaningless things. And so we're going to talk about this morning and learn a little bit about that. In light of giving you some practical resources, I wanted to share with you a couple of different kind of outlines or ideas. I've touched on these throughout the series. But what I would love for you to do is not just come to church on Sunday morning and say, yeah, that's a good sermon. I would love to see you take the initiative to learn more on your own about this. And some of the ways you can do that, one is Dave Ramsey. And I'll throw this on the screen. This is Dave Ramsey's Baby Steps. And if you've ever listened to him, he's got a radio show. He's got a lot of good books about money management. He offers a Christian course called Financial Peace University. All sorts of stuff. We've done several of his studies here before. He calls them the 7 baby steps. And I just kind of share these. And this may be something you want to look into a little more later. The first step, if you want to get out of debt, you want to find financial freedom, it's simply to set aside $1,000 in an emergency fund. The reason he says this, if we don't plan for unexpected life events, then when they happen, then we're going to go into debt to pay for them. So before you can even start paying off debt, you've got to have a buffer. You've got to have some margin in your life, and this is what an emergency fund does. Then he says you pay off all the debt. You pay off all the debt except your house, and you start with this, and he recommends starting with the smallest balance and taking it and paying it off, and then take the amount you're paying on that and paying on the next one, and just keep increasing until you get all your debt paid off except the house. Then you move to the 3 to 6 months of savings, or 3 to 6 months of expenses you've stored away in savings. Again, if you lose your job, you've got a buffer, you've got margin, you've got the ability to live without, relying on the government, really. And so what you do, you save some. And for those of you that say, well, but this is, man, nobody can do that. It's interesting, if you listen to his radio show, how many ordinary people do this all the time when they get serious. They do it on minimum wage incomes. They do it, it doesn't matter what you make. It really comes down to how you manage what's been entrusted to you. Then he goes into start investing for retirement. Again, are you going to trust the government for your retirement? I don't know that, I trust the government to fully fund my retirement. You plan for that. Your college funding for your children. We see college students all the time coming out of college with debt, debt that we would say, debt really that's equivalent to a house, $40,000 and $50,000 and $60,000, $70,000 of debt coming out of college. That's crazy. If you can pay it in advance and make good decisions about college, you're so much better off financially. Then step six, you pay off your house early. Just go ahead and start making extra payments toward that. And then you're out from under all debt. And that's just an incredibly freeing feeling that you have. And then, you just start building wealth so you can give. And what Dave Ramsey says, he says, you live like no one else now. In other words, you live differently from the society so that you can live like no one else later. And he's not talking about you just go and live at large. He's saying you can be generous in how you live. And that's really the message this morning. There's another a resource out there called Crown Financial, crown.org. They've got something called the Money Map. And this is the Crown Money Map, a little bit of it. And it's kind of the same thing, but just a little different. On their website, they've got budgets, they've got online tools, they've got all this free stuff to help you. And there's kind of steps here, real similar, but a little different. You start with saving $1,000 for your emergency savings, but you also start giving from day one. Because if you really want God to bless what you're doing, then you've got to learn how to start honoring God from the beginning. You pay your credit cards off. You start increasing your savings, your emergency savings then, up to at least 1 month of savings. Then you start paying off your consumer debt. And what he's talking about there, that's all your auto loans, your furniture, all that stuff, home equity lines, anything like that. You get all that paid off. Then you move into start saving for major purchases. And what both of these will tell you is if you want to go buy a car, you go buy a car with the money you have already saved for that in advance. You don't go and finance it. That's crazy because, you go and buy a $10,000 car, you're actually paying $20,000 for it because you're financing it. So, save in advance for major purchases, car, house. Destination five on this money map is buy your home and you begin investing. Then you pay your mortgage off, and then you get to the point of freedom. So that's kind of another resource on crown.org. You can go there, find out. On Right Now Media, which is our online video Bible study library. And the way to explain that, it's kind of like Netflix for Bible studies. Tons of Bible studies for family, for marriage, parenting, even for money management. And we can get you signed. If you go back to the resource table, you can sign up for that. There's all sorts of good studies. Eliminating Debt by Crown Financial. The Genius of Generosity by Chip Ingram is on there. Dave Ramsey's got one called Life, Hope, Legacy. It's really good. Randy Alcorn has one called The Treasure Principle. All these are incredible video Bible studies that you can kind of do on your own or you get together. Even better, grab a few of your friends and go through these together. But here's what's exciting for me to see. It's when people really start talking and thinking and praying about their priorities and start making changes in their life. They start getting rid of stuff you don't need. They simplify, you budget, you start understanding, man, you start just looking for opportunity, saying, God, will you use me to make a difference in this world around me? And so that's kind of some very practical resources that if you're struggling in this area, my prayer for you is that you would just take hold of this. You would go on your own time, learn more about it. We can do life groups about it. We can do all sorts of stuff, but it just takes people understanding that how you manage your money, it really affects every aspect of your life. And so really encourage you to do that. If we want to take the initiative, though, and keep learning and keep making progress, we've talked about getting out of debt. We've talked about saving. And then logically, one of the most important things we can talk about is how we can be generous. And this is not, again, I said this last week, when we talk about generosity here at Cornerstone, this is not about how much money you give to the church. And that's what I think, as soon as you hear the word generosity, that's what some people think. This is about, okay, they're going to ask me to give money. What we want to talk about is living a generous life. And that encompasses far more than just your money, your time, your resources, how you serve and love others. And so that's what we want to do. To do that, though, we need to talk about some truths about generosity that we all need to understand. And the first truth is this. Here's the first truth. The first truth is that you don't have to be rich to be generous. I think that's a misconception. A lot of people would say, man, one of these days, it's what I call someday thinking. Someday, I'm going to be generous. Someday, not right now because, man, I've got debt and I'm trying to just keep my head above water. But someday when I get some money saved up, then I'll be generous. Someday I'll be in a position where I can help. Someday I'll start giving to the church. Someday I will help others. But right now, man, I need everything I make. And often what happens is debt and poor financial decisions get us in that place where we feel like we cannot be generous. But we need to understand that you don't have to be rich. You don't have to be rich to be generous. Generosity is really a lifestyle. It's a way of living. It's a way of prioritizing our life. When we read in Scripture that we're to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we're to love others as ourselves, generosity is a vehicle that takes us there. It's how we get there. It's how we serve others and love others, is that we are generous in our time and our love and our resources and everything that God has entrusted. And we talked last week about how the reality is that God owns everything. And when we understand that, then we understand that it doesn't matter how much we have. If God owns it all, we are called to be generous with whatever it is He has given us. Proverbs 3 says this. It's verse 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. That's the verse that we have on our offering envelopes. If you look in the seat back in front of you, that's what it says. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the best part of everything you produce. It doesn't say, okay, this is for rich people only. This is for everybody, right? That we honor God with the best of whatever it is that He has entrusted to us. Whatever it is, if we are called to be faithful in a little, we are called to be faithful with a lot, but we are called to be faithful. And if you look at the next verse, verse 10, it says, then He will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. And the reality is, when we honor the Lord with our wealth, we will experience a blessing. Now, I don't believe that He's saying that, okay, if you honor God, then He's going to let you, like, He's going to just send all this windfall of money your way. That's not, but He will send a blessing your way. And you're going to experience life like you've never experienced before if we honor Him with the best of everything He's given us. So the first truth is simply, you don't have to be rich. And if I even kind of pull back from that a little bit and would say, the reality for North Americans is that we all are rich. Even the poorest of the poor here in our communities are rich compared to the rest of the world. And so when we understand that, we realize it's not about, because if we fall into that trap, we're like, oh, if I made a little more, I would give. If I make a little more, no, we are called to be faithful where we are. The second truth is this. God does not measure generosity by the size of our gift, but by the size of our sacrifice. This is where it starts getting a little uncomfortable, right? When we realize this, when we come to this understanding that generosity is a way of life, and that even if you give a large amount of money, if there's no sacrifice involved, it's not really being generous. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus talks about this. And he gives his disciples an illustration to help them understand. In verse 41, Jesus sat down near the collection booth in the temple. He watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts, and then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow, she has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, she has given everything she had to live on." And so God has given us everything, right? If he owns it all, and then he's entrusted us to use it, and we have all this extra, and we just give a little bit of the extra, and think, oh man, we pat ourselves on the back and think, man, I'm being generous. Well, true generosity happens when we make a sacrifice. True generosity says, I'm not going to do this so that I can do this. I'm not going to buy this so that I can contribute to this. I'm not going to spend this money on myself and what I was wanting to get so that I can be available to meet someone else's needs. That's generosity. And when there is a sacrifice like that, when there's a sacrifice, when we say, okay, I'm going to change my, you're changing your desires. Instead of stuff and materials and possessions and all that stuff having such control over us, we say, I'm going to relinquish control. I'm going to let go of that so that I can serve. You know, Chip Ingram, I like, he says, to be smart, you spend carefully. And a lot of people in the church, hey, we can be smart. We can spend carefully. He said, to be wise, you save regularly. Okay, we can do that. But then he said, but there comes, you can be a genius. And he says, you're a genius when you give extravagantly. I like that. It's not just being smart. It's not just being wise. It's about this is a way of life that is so better. It's so better. And it's about money not having control over us. That we can be extravagant givers. We can be sacrificial givers. We can be radically generous, not just with our money, but with our time, our talent, our resources, everything God has entrusted to us, he has given to us, even our spiritual gifts. It says we are given for the benefit of the body or for the common good or for the body of Christ. We're to use what God has given us to help and to serve others. That's being generous. That's living a lifestyle that's not focused on what's in it for me. What can I gain? How can I profit myself? But instead, how can I serve others? The third truth is this. If you want to be Christ-like, you must be a giver. To help, just again, if we look at the life of Jesus, there is no mistake that he gave. If we look at God the Father, there is no mistake that he gave. Right? What we see in God is this ability that he loved us so much that he gave his one and only Son. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is a giver. He loves us and he wants to give us. You look at the life of Jesus. When God in the flesh, here at Christmas, we celebrate this, that God loved us so much that he sent Jesus from the comforts of heaven, right, to become one of us, to rescue us from this life of sin that we are enslaved to. And so when Jesus came, he lived that perfect life that we could not live. And then in return, right, he gave up his time. He gave up his possessions. He gave up really his own family. And then when he went to the cross, he ultimately gave his life for us. And what we see in Jesus is that Jesus was a giver. He gave everything. And so what we learn from him is he gave up everything in his life. So it even says this, right? He who knew no sin became sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And so what we see is he gives us, he takes upon himself all the sin and messed up stuff we've done in our past. And in exchange, when we put our faith in him, He gives us his righteousness, the ultimate gift. We can receive forgiveness. We can receive a new life. Why? Because Christ is a giver. Acts 20:35, and we read this. Paul says, I've been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. If you want to be like Jesus, you've got to be a giver. And that's where it just confronts our materialistic society head on with the truth of Scripture. It's not all about us. It's not all about us. And so when we look at those truths, those three truths, what we understand is it impacts us. It has an effect on us. It really changes us. And so what I want to do now is kind of share, how does that generosity really affect us? There's really several ways. And the first thing that generosity does, it changes our lives. This is hard to quantify, hard to explain, but I'm telling you, when you are generous, it changes you. It changes what's important in your life. It changes what gives you joy. There is a joy that is so hard to explain, because when you are able to give and help someone who is in need, man, it's exciting. It's exciting to be able to meet a need. It's exciting for you to say, God, you know, what if we just started every day to say, God, just use me today. God, just give me an opportunity today to be Jesus to someone, to share hope, to share truth, to share love, to be able to meet a need with those around me. What if we started each day like that? I'm telling you, it's so exciting. And as a pastor, there's been times that I've been able to be part and see this at work. And I've had people like come up and say, okay, I want to give this anonymously, but I want to help this family. Would you give them this? And don't tell them who it's from. I mean, and when they do that, it's almost like they're giddy, right? I mean, it's like, oh, this is so much fun. I want to help somebody. And it's not about getting recognition. It's not about what they get out of it. It's just like, here, go bless someone, you know, or here, do this. And what you see is they've discovered the joy that can only be found through giving. And when you're able to do that, when you've got enough margin in your life, just like we've been talking about, when you've got enough margin in your life and you say, man, here's a need, I want to do something about it. I want to do something. Man, this is exciting. It's exciting to see what God's going to do with this. It changes your life. I don't even know. And it's funny. It seems like our kids get this sometimes even better than we do, right? When they start giving, and you see, I mean, I don't know if you notice at the Christmas parade, if you notice out front, there's like scarves tied around. Did y'all see that outside? If you go down Main Street, like when you leave, there's some scarves tied around the post. And I'll brag on Mia Yamas a little bit. She just wanted to do this. She read about somebody doing it, and she's like, they kind of collected some scarves that people had, and she tied a little note on them just saying, hey, I'm not lost, but if you're cold and need a scarf, just take this free, you're right? And so she's tied them up and put notes and a Bible verse all over downtown here for the Christmas parade. And there's little scarves all around. And you know, that didn't cost any money, but it cost time, right? It took some effort just to think how, I mean, Mia's like 9 years old. Is that right? I think she's nine. Somewhere around there. And she's doing stuff like that. That's awesome, right? And what we see is generosity changes your life. It's contagious. Once you start blessing people, once you start doing things like that, you're looking for, oh man, how can I do something else? How can I do something else? How can I do? And it's just contagious. It gives you joy. It gives you fulfillment. And I'm telling you, there's not a bigger high in this world. No drug can even compare to the high you get when you start serving God and helping others. And so what we see here, it's awesome when you do that. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says this. We can understand this. We're kind of country folk, right? Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. And so what we see here, and this isn't, I mean, if you keep going here, you find out it's not just about farming here. This is about life. Are you living a generous life? Are you living a life where you're just throwing out a few seeds here and there? Or are you just throwing it out everywhere, saying, I'm going to share as much love with as many people as often as I can, wherever I go, however I can, I'm going to do it. I'm going to represent God. I'm going to love other people. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to proclaim the gospel. I'm going to build the kingdom. I'm going to go and I'm going to do it. When we start living generous like that, man, we're going to harvest a crop. And the crop we harvest is a blessed life. It's a blessed life where we're just experiencing the power and the presence of God working through us. I love Randy Alcorn. He writes a lot. He wrote a good book too called Money, Life, Money, Eternity, and Possessions there. And in it, he talks about, he's got all sorts of good stuff. And in another book, he wrote Treasure Principle. He's got some good stuff out there. He said this. He said, generosity is the only antidote for materialism. I love that. Generosity is the only antidote for materialism. And so if you're struggling with materialism, you're struggling with that grip that money and possessions have on your life, the only antidote, the only cure for that is generosity. To start letting go, to start giving away, to start saying, I don't need this, but I want to use this money instead for this. I want to use it for this. And so when we give to others, it doesn't just help them, it blesses us. In Proverbs 11, verse 25, it says, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Blessings follow obedience. That's what we see. And so generosity, it changes us. It changes our lives. It's really the gateway we have to intimacy with God. And that's what it does. Generosity brings us close to the heart and mind of Jesus. The other something else that generosity does, it connects us with others. It connects us with others. What do I mean by this? Generosity has a way of connecting you with people who you normally don't associate with. Generosity has a way of connecting people who are united and heart and vision and focus. And so when we start serving God, and there's a number of ways, right, that our church is active in the community and doing this, but when you start serving and you start being generous, what happens is you start understanding that there's a lot of people who need someone just to care. Money's not always the answer. I can tell you so many examples when someone comes and they may ask for money, but the real need is they want somebody to listen to them and care and walk with them and guide them and encourage them and teach them and train them and disciple them. And what generosity does when we're generous, not just with our money, but with our time, what happens is when we start seeing what we would normally consider interruptions in our life, we realize they're not really interruptions. They're really divine appointments. They're really opportunities for us to share Jesus. And so will you be prepared? Will you be that kind of person that's going through life so fast, so hard, all the time, that you don't even have time for other people? Or will you be that person who just walks around saying, God, help me today. Show me someone that I can bless. Show me someone that I can listen to. Show me someone that just needs something. I know one pastor who just said, okay, congregation, when you go out, always carry some cash on you. Pay for the person's meal behind you. Buy their coffee. Just do small acts of generosity all the time. Just look for opportunities. Just be willing. And so just be prepared. Look for those things that you can do on a day-to-day basis. And generosity will connect us with others. And so instead of looking for something big to do, he says, look for something small to do every day. That's how you build generosity in your life. You just start looking for opportunities day in and day out. If you go back to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 that I read earlier about, you know, the farmer planting a few seeds versus, a generous crop, it keeps going. In verse 7, it says, you must each decide in your own heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need. Notice it didn't say won't. And plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and they give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. God owns it all. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. So what we're reading here, as we are generous, and as we are generous with a little, God's going to bless us so we can be generous with a lot. It says, yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. A couple of truths right in that passage, right? One, when we are generous, it doesn't point people back to us. It points them back to God. God is the one who gets the thanks. And secondly, what I would say is generosity, it's a magnifying glass over our life. And so if you look at our life, and our life is all about our stuff and our possessions and everything else, then what happens if we get a windfall of money? What happens if all of a sudden we come into a lot of money and our life is all about our stuff? It's magnified, right? And that's why a lot of people are praying that they win the lottery. But if you're not a generous person now, winning the lottery will not change that. It just magnifies whatever is already in your heart. And so if you were greedy before, you win the lottery, you're going to be a greedy rich person. But if you're a generous person, right, and all of a sudden you find yourself with more to give, it's like a kid in a candy store. It's like all of a sudden, man, I am excited. I don't know what I'm going to do with this, but I can't wait to be a blessing. And so what we see here, that generosity, right, it connects us with others. It connects us with opportunities. And also, here's the third thing. Generosity, it frees our hearts. It just frees our hearts. Money will never satisfy your deepest needs. I know a lot of people think, man, but if I did win the lottery, I'm going to be a happy person. Okay? But I'm telling you, having an abundance of money, having an abundance of possessions will not bring you true joy and happiness. I know you want to try, but that's not where you're going to find your true joy and happiness. You've got to find your fulfillment from something much deeper. Jesus, in Luke chapter 12, he tells this story. He said, someone called from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." And Jesus replied, "Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that?" Then he said, "Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own." Underline that, highlight that, star that. Life is not measured by how much stuff you have. And then he goes on to say, then he told him a story. He's saying, okay, I got a story about this. Help, think about it this way. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, "What should I do? I don't have room for all my crops." Then he said, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'm going to build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat, all my other stuff. I'll sit back and I'll say to myself, "My friend, man, you've done well. You have stored away for years to come. Now I can take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry." Okay, this is a picture of our society today. This is a picture of what this world tells us. Hey, you know what? Just, you know, live the live at large. You know, store away all this stuff. Now, man, when you get a lot of stuff built up, then you can just party, you can just live, you can take it easy, you can eat, drink, you can be merry, live, you know, accumulate possessions, accumulate wealth, do as much as you can for yourself. And if you keep going, right, he says, "You fool, this very night your soul is going to be required of you." In other words, we're not promised another day. And if we spend our life trying to accumulate stuff, what we're really doing, it's meaningless. It's meaningless. It will free your heart when you realize that your life is about so much more than how much you own. That your life, that generosity, it frees your heart to be who God really created you to be. The fourth thing, generosity. I'm reading a lot of scripture this morning, and it just helps us because the Bible speaks to this so much. Generosity helps us invest in what matters. your life, right? It's too valuable. You're God too good to waste your life on meaningless things. So generosity helps us invest in what matters. In Matthew 6, Jesus talks about this in the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 19, don't store up for yourself treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroy them and where thieves break in and steal. Think about the first century, right? What's valuable in their society? One of the things that was incredibly valuable because it took a large amount of time to produce was fine cloth, linen, right? Silk, all those things. That was expensive. Very time-consuming process, a lot of manual labor. It's not like they had a big factory that just whipping out all this stuff. So they would, if they had a lot of fine cloth and linen and all that, they would store it. But if one single moth got in there, you know what happens, right? If you've ever had a wool suit or something like that and you've pulled out your closet and you've got holes in it, you know what? All it takes is a single moth to destroy it. And what else was, you know, valuable in their time was, you know, put coins and all this, you know, the treasures and sculptures and all that stuff. And he's saying, well, you know, they're just going to rust. Or worse yet, somebody's just going to break in your house and take all the stuff that's valuable, and you're not going to have GPS tracking to find it. You don't have the FBI searching it. I mean, they steal it, it's gone. You spend all your life just trying to accumulate that stuff. It's not going to bring you fulfillment. It's just going to rot. It's just going to be stolen. It's not what's really important. He says in verse 20, store your treasures, though, in heaven. And if you store them in heaven, moths and rust cannot destroy. Thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. And if you skip down to verse 24, it says, no one can serve two masters, right? No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. And what he's saying here when he talks about, wherever the your treasure is, there's the desires of your heart is. I would put it this way, right? The reality, money is a mirror of your heart. It shows really what's important in your life. And if you look at your heart and you find that there's not a lot of compassion there, if you look at your heart and you see greed, if you look at your heart and you see materialism, if you look at your heart and you see all those things that you don't want to describe you, but the reality is they're really there, then here's what you do. You give. You start giving. And where you put your money, and as you give, and as you start giving things away, and as you start being sacrificing those things, and you start, what happens is your heart goes where your money is. It flows to what you invest in. And if you are investing in eternal things, what happens is that's where your heart flows to. It's amazing how that works. That our heart follows after what we give. And what it does, it just breaks that control that money has over us. So what are you investing in? Are you investing in things that are temporary, things that are meaningless, or things that are eternal? And again, it's not just about money. Being generous is about how you live your life. It's about getting our hands dirty in service. It's about loving people just like Jesus did. And I want you to understand, all this talk about generosity, God uses normal, everyday people like you and me to make a difference in this world. You don't have to be a superstar. You don't have to be someone rich. You don't have to be someone with wealth and affluence and influence. He just wants everyday, normal people to be obedient and to follow after him. In talking about generosity, we are at that time of the year here at Cornerstone where we can start talking about the end of the year. And we do something kind of a little different here. We usually do a Christmas offering. And I'll tell you, Cornerstone has always been a generous church. It's one of our core values that we want to be just radically generous. We want to serve this community, serve this world we live in. We give a large amount each year. We give over 12% just straight as it comes in, a way to missions. And missions is stuff here in this community. It's stuff around the world. And I just want to share, and I was a little reluctant to do this because I don't want it to be like, hey, here's what we do at Cornerstone. But at the same time, you guys need to know how your generosity is making a difference. And this is some exciting stuff when you really step back and look at what's happening. I'll just tell you some of the ways that money's being spent through our missions budget here at Cornerstone. One of the ways, it helps people in crisis here in our community. And so people in our church, people in the community, we have a benevolence team that will sit down with people and help them work through crisis. And many times it's connecting them to resources and agencies and help that is out there. Many times it's just saying, okay, it's helping money management, budgeting, and all that stuff, but it's helping people in crisis. We also do all sorts of local outreach events, things like Praising in the Park, where we brought together multiple churches, and we have a big community-wide Bible school. We do things like the Christmas night in Bethlehem that you read about in your bulletin. We help sponsor that. Things like the community meal, all sorts of local outreach efforts that we do so that we can share Jesus with this community that we live in. From the very beginning, Cornerstone has been a church that we're not afraid to partner with other churches in ministry. We want to work together to reach this community. We do all sorts of local ministries we support. We've got people that serve on the boards of almost every single ministry in this community that come from Cornerstone. We've got, we support with money, Hope House, all right, willing partners. The Hope House some of y'all may not know, they're kind of our local homeless shelter. They have a men's and a women's shelter. We support Willing Partners, which is more than just a thrift store. It's actually the local food bank for the whole community. All right, the free clinic. We're getting ready to send a check this week for $2,500 to the free clinic, to the free medical clinic that helps people in our community. The Pregnancy Resource Center, we support monthly, on a monthly basis, the ministry that they do. Most people don't even know this. We actually pay part of the salary for the chaplain at River North Prison as a church. So each month we're paying, and what happened when they opened River North, they didn't have money for a chaplain. And so the local churches came together and said, we need a chaplain in the prison. This is a place where the gospel needs to go. And so we pay a part of the monthly salary for the prison chaplain. And in return, so every week I get all these prayer requests coming in from the prison on how we can pray for them and all the work that's being done there. And you've seen how people are getting saved and even baptized in prison right here in Grayson County. It's awesome. And again, it's generosity allowing us to do it. Community food drive, thing the fire department does. We give to that. I mean, there's so many of these local ministries that we help support. Not just local, there's international stuff. We have some of our own young people serving all around the world. And we're able to support them. We're able to, Nicaragua, we've got a great partnership in Nicaragua with Because We Care Ministries and do pastor training, do all sorts of ministry in Nicaragua. We've paid for churches to be built, wells to be drilled, vehicles to be repaired, school supplies, food and water and medicine for those in need, all sorts of stuff we've been able to do over the years, help with a model farm that teaches people how to make a living on their own, all sorts of stuff there. Relief work, right? Hurricane Matthew relief. We were able to take a team and do relief work there. We're waiting to see how we can help in Gatlinburg, to see how we can respond and how we can help make a difference there. All that stuff totals up to $27,000 this year. And that's like every year, that's what Cornerstone is doing and giving. And we don't even realize that. And not only that, this year we want to do something even in addition to that. And we've looked and we've got some extra missions funds that have accumulated because of extra giving and what we're going to do with that. We're going to use it to bless the community. We've picked out several ministries that we want to support. And this is where it gets fun, right? This is where there's joy when we look and say, where's the need? How can we come along beside you and help you? Willing Partners, we're giving an additional $1,500 this year. Hope House, we're giving an additional $4,000 to. They're in the process of purchasing the women's shelter. And Joy Ranch, we're going to send them $1,000. The God Storehouse Soup Kitchen, we're going to send them $1,000 this week. Additional $7,500 that we can send out, in addition to what we've already spent this year as a church. That's awesome, right? That we're able, God has put us in a place where we can be a blessing back to this community we live in. Over the years, we've given, well over $100,000. I need to go back now. I don't know how much we've given back away from this church into this community. This church is making a difference for the kingdom of God. And it's because of you guys. It's not because of me. It's not because of the elders. It's not because of anybody. It's because you guys are generous people. And we're able to do this. And so what we want to do this year for our Christmas offering, it's that God has placed us here. We're kind of an exciting time period here at Cornerstone. We have just purchased this building, right? We just have, we've been paying rent for a long time. We've just closed on the building. We own this building now. God has blessed us with that. What we want to do is for our Christmas offering, we want to expand our ministry. And so we're going to kind of, what we encourage you to do at Christmas, if there's any extra money you have that you can set aside above your tithes and offerings, we encourage you to think about being generous this time of year. And over the years, we've collected anywhere from almost $10,000 to $20,000 each year through our Christmas offering. And we want to use it to expand our ministry. There's some facility needs now that we've bought this, things that we haven't been able to do because we were renting and now we own that we need to do here. There's some ministry needs that we've been running on such a tight budget for year after year that we need to address and help some of our ministries. So we just want to encourage this Christmas offering. Knowing that our church is being generous in this community, knowing that our church cares about this community, we're asking you guys to help us expand our influence and expand our ministry. And I'm excited to see what's going to happen as a result of that. And we'll be sharing a little bit more about that the next few weeks. But if you want to give to our Christmas offering, we'll have envelopes next week. But if you just want to write on an envelope this week, you can write Christmas offering. You go on our giving app and you can actually, it's actually already there. You can sign in. And just use that and select Christmas offering. But God's doing some great things, guys. And it's just for me to be able to just sit down and share with you guys. I want you to know and I want you to understand what you're a part of here at Cornerstone. This is something special. This is something unique. This is God at work. Luke 6:38 is what I want to close with. It says, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. And I'm telling you, I want to receive, I hope you do too. I hope you understand this is about more than just receiving money, but this is about receiving a blessing. It's about living your life, living a generous life. I love what Randy Alcorn said. He says, God prospers me not to raise my standard of living, but instead to raise my standard of giving. So I love, right? I mean, he prospers us so that we can raise our standard of giving. And so as we close today, I'm going to ask the praise team to come back up. Three things I want to challenge you with. First, will you prayerfully consider giving above and beyond your normal tithe to help us expand our ministry efforts through Cornerstone? That's the first thing. Just start praying about it. Pray with your family. See if there's a way you can support that. Secondly, if you aren't currently giving regularly, then why not? Why not? If you want to experience the blessing in your life, then start putting God first in your life. And I would say this is one of the few things that in the Bible that God actually says, test me on this. Malachi 3:10. I don't know if you've ever read this verse, but it says this. It says, bring all your tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's army, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. That's what God says. Try it. Just put me to the test. So I just challenge you. If you're not doing it now, just try it. See what difference it makes in your life when you start putting him first. And then thirdly, what is one specific way you can be generous this week? How can you be generous this week to the people around you? Let's pray as we close. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We're thankful that your word teaches us to be generous. Your word challenges us to really put you first in our life. And one of the ways we do that is how we handle everything that you've entrusted to us, our time, our money, our resources, our health, just everything, Lord, will we honor you with our lives. Heavenly Father, I pray for those in the room today that, one, that they would know Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. that they understand how much you love them and how you gave your son so that we might have life. And that when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we are saved. We are rescued. We are forgiven. We're given new life. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love. We are thankful that we can come and worship here in this place today. As we respond today, Lord, just help guide us. Help us honor you in what we do. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we close out today, there's a couple of different ways you can respond. You can go to the cross, write out your prayer request. You can come receive communion this morning. We'll be in the back if you want to pray or talk. But let's all respond as God leads today. Will you guys stand as we close?